It says Ministry of God's Word. If you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's holy word. The sermon series that we have been on now, this is the fifth week, is questions that Jesus asked. We always have questions ourselves, but these are questions that Jesus asked. A reading from Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Father, I pray that our hearts and minds are on you and your holy word, your way, and that we might be conformed to your will and transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now cause us to hear clearly what you have to say this day. Cause us, Lord, to take these words into our hearts. Cause us, Lord, to be different. I pray, Father, that we are people who think differently and who act differently. And I pray this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we began our study of this passage. They had just finished talking about how beautiful the temple was. And Jesus asked that question, "Do you see all these things? Do you see all these things?" And of course, what he was saying, not just do you see the temple, do you see all these things that I'm going to be telling you and talking to you about? And he goes on to name some things. But he is saying in there, do you see what I see? Do you really see? Do you have eyes to see what is going to be happening? Do you have eyes to see what is going on in the world? Or are you just stuck on this and that and these things and those things? Do you really see? And he says in verse 2, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And he was 100% correct, because in 70 AD, the Romans came in, destroyed the temple, which was their center of worship, and burned everything. Not one stone was upon another. And so they begin to walk to the Mount of Olives, and they ask him two questions. When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming? And he answers the second question first, rather than the first question. He doesn't just give one sign. He gives a number of signs. And last week we dealt with only one of the signs, false messiahs. Talked a great deal about that. Gave you examples today. Those people that are calling themselves Jesus. And Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. That word watch out means keep your eyes open. Beware. Take heed. Listen to what I'm saying. Take heed. And last week I said this, and some of you chuckled. No one, I've never met anyone who said, hey, guess what? I'm being deceived. I was deceived last week. Wow. I was deceived also the week before that. I've never heard anyone ever say that. And the reason is that people don't know that they're being deceived and how much we need to be in God's word. Satan has a three-part plan. This is all a review from last week. I'm not going to preach a new one today. I'm just preach last week's sermon. Satan has a three-part plan for all Christians. One, to divert your attention from Jesus. He wants to take your mind and your heart off of our Lord and Savior Jesus and wants to focus it upon other things. He wants you thinking about other things and doing other things all the time. Second, Satan wants you to depend upon yourself instead of our Lord and Savior. You know how men never ask for directions? We depend on ourselves. Although, if you ask my wife, I always ask for directions. We stop in a store. I said, let's talk to the person and find out where this is. But we think we can do things on our own. There is very little we can do on our own. The older I get, the more I realize how much we really need and must have Christ in our life. Third, he wants to make you want what he wants. And to make the things that you have, the things that he has and wants. If he can divert you, if he can get you doing the things, they can be good things. They can be nice things. But divert your attention from Christ. He is happy. He is happy. Okay, we're ready to move on. Birth pain number two. Second birth pain. World violence. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Now, of course, this is tough to see because there's always wars. And there's always rumors of wars. And so we look at this and we go, yeah, okay, all right. A few years ago, a Norwegian statistician tried to go back over 5,000 years to determine how many wars were fought in history. He came up with 14,531 wars have been fought down through history. And so we look at that, and it's hard by this to tell whether this is coming near the end or not. Today, there are over 40 active conflicts going on in the world. Over 40 active conflicts going on right now in the world. Key phrase, see to it that you are not alarmed. And that is a key phrase. See to it. See to it that you are not alarmed. Don't lose hope. Don't panic when these things happen. God is in charge. God is in control. Don't lose hope. When these things happen, just trust and have faith that God knows what he's doing. And that's tough sometimes. That's tough. You ever hear the doomsday clock? You ever hear the doomsday clock? No? Well, yes, some of you have. Some of you have not. The doomsday clock. Board of directors of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists at the University of Chicago. Keep watch over this. It began in 1947. And what it's all about is the big hand. You see the small hand, it's always on the 12. The big hand, where it is placed. Right now, it sets at 2 minutes to 12. The last time it was 2 minutes to 12 was in 1953 when we were testing the hydrogen bomb. It hasn't been 2 minutes to 12 since 1953. They feel now more than ever. What does that mean if it would go to 12? Catastrophic destruction of our world as we know it. And of course, we look at things that are going on So there is one there that we can look at what is going on in the world in regard to that. Third birth pain, famines and earthquakes. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And again, same thing. There's always been famines and there's always been earthquakes. They've always existed. But did you know that world hunger is on the rise? Did you know that? World hunger is on the rise. The Migration Policy Institute said this: after decades in which famines had declined almost to the vanishing point, 2017 and 2018 have witnessed their disturbing return. We're not seeing that. But around the world, yes. Yes, they are. The United Nations put this statement out: the global food supply system could collapse because the world food reserves have dropped to the lowest levels in decades, and the world's population is consuming more food than is produced each year. 9.1 million people die every year of starvation. Famine is on the increase. Is it a sign? Could be. Could be. Then, of course, there's earthquakes, because Jesus lumped famines with earthquakes, famines and earthquakes. Some have said what Jesus is saying refers to that there will be a frequency of earthquakes, that there will be a frequency. The U.S. Geological Survey estimates that there are 50 earthquakes every day. They said, the U.S. Geological Survey, that earthquakes, listen to this, earthquakes have been on the increase since 2004. But don't be alarmed by that, because it's just coincidence. I'm not saying that's what they're saying. It's just coincidence. Take a look at these couple of graphs. I had all kinds of graphs. I thought, you don't want to look at graphs all morning. But let me show you a couple of them. You can see the increase of earthquakes going from 2011 all the way up to 14. There's an increase. Look at this one. Going from 1982 to 2014, couldn't find any newer ones, but look at the steady increase over 6. Does that mean? Is it a sign? I don't know. It could be. Jesus said that there is definitely a correlation there, that's for sure. Fourth one, and this is one we can think about a little bit: the persecution of Christians. Verse 9, Jesus says, then, after what? After the famines, after false messiahs, after all these earthquakes and da-da-da-da and so forth, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Take a look at these. More Christians died for their faith in the 20th century than at any other time in history. Seems hard to believe, doesn't it? More Christians died for their faith in the 20th century than at any other time in history. When we take a look, and if I know I like to study history, being an old history teacher. When you take a look at the time of the early church and how the Christians were persecuted, and some of the things that were done, not only fed to lions, but put pitch and tar over them and put on poles to light up Nero's gardens. Amazing, horrible, horrific things. It's hard to believe that there were more persecuted, put to death in the 20th century than ever before in history. 2019, let me bring you up to date. 2019, 4,305 Christians were killed for their Christian faith. 1,847 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked. 3,150 believers were detained without trial, arrested, or imprisoned. Every 5 minutes, a Christian is martyred for their faith. It's astounding, isn't it? Astounding. We are somewhat protected at this point. somewhat protected. Although, unless your head is buried in the ground, you can see where Christians are being called out more and more today. Not like that. Look at this. 322 Christians are killed for their faith every month. 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed every month. 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians every month. No religious group in the world is persecuted more than Christians. These are not my figures. These are not my figures. There is no group that is persecuted more than Christians today. This poster is illegal. It's illegal in 51 countries. It's illegal in 51 countries. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, let me share with you just a couple of things that are going on. I could have, for the next 20 minutes, as I researched, this past April, Yusuf Tulo's house in Uganda was set on fire by Islam extremists. His house was set on fire. Imagine your house being set on fire. A note was left there. This is just a warning. If you don't return to Islam, you can expect much, much worse. Hindu extremists beat a pastor and tried to set him on fire, then paraded him naked in the suburbs of Bangalore. In Sri Lanka, this past Easter, a group of children were killed by a bomb blast in their church. On May 18th, extremists in Nigeria abducted 17 Christians during choir practice to be held for ransom. And I have many, 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 many more. And you might be thinking, well, yeah, that's not our country. Well, let me share with you a few things about America, just a few. A woman in Houston, Texas, was ordered by local police to stop handing out gospel tracts to children who knocked on their door on Halloween. In Madison, Wisconsin, the Freedom From Religious Foundation, the Freedom From Religious, not of, from religious, handed out anti-Christian pamphlets to public school children that said, "We can be good without God." A teacher in New Jersey was suspended for giving a student a Bible. A football coach in Washington was placed on leave for saying a prayer on the field at the end of the game. A few years ago, listen to this one, State Senator Ernie Chambers of Omaha, Nebraska, sued God in the county court because God has inspired fear and caused widespread death and destruction through natural disasters. Amazing, isn't it? And of course, we're sheltered. We don't think about these things. We don't look at these things. We don't search for these things. We live in our own little bubbles. But more things are coming. This is a real one. This is a real one. And you can see on the news how Christians are being squeezed in many ways. So, what can you do? How can you make sure that you won't be persecuted? This is how you can be sure you will never be persecuted. One, never take a stand for Christ. Never talk to anyone about Jesus. Don't say a word to anyone about Jesus. Keep it all inside to yourself. Three, never say Jesus is the only way to heaven, even though Acts 4, verse 12 says, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Four, live so that no one sees anything different about you. In other words, live like everyone else is living. Five, approve of the world's standards, morals, ethics, and lifestyle. Six, live like everyone else, in other words. Live like everyone else. Seven, laugh when people take Jesus' name in vain or make jokes about Jesus. Eight, make no sacrifices for the cause of Christ. After all, you have to live. Nine, live only for yourself. And 10, live like your time, your talents, and your treasure only belong to you. Live like they're not gifts from God. Live like everything you have is because you've done it and not that God has gifted you and given you this. That's how you can be sure you will never be persecuted. If you don't do those things, you will never be persecuted. Fifth birth pain, turning away from the faith. There will be a turning away from the faith. Chuck Colson became a Christian after Watergate. He wrote amazing books when he became a Christian. Very, very powerful. He said, he's now in glory. He said, I believe in America, we are now living in a post-Christian world. The post-Christian world in America. Turning away from the faith is apostasy. It's called apostasy, turning away from the faith. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Let me give you some examples of apostasy today. Some today. When a major Christian denomination must debate whether Jesus is Lord, that's apostasy. When a major Christian denomination must debate that whether Jesus is Lord, that's apostasy. Which one am I talking about? Well, I'm going to name it, Presbyterian Church USA. Some years ago, they were debating whether Jesus is Lord. I had a pastor friend not too far away from here who was astounded by this. He was a member of the pastor of PCA, Presbyterian Church USA. Presbyterian PCA, Presbyterian Reformed, Presbyterian Orthodox, they're fine. They're fine. But who would ever think you have to debate whether Jesus is Lord? Another example of apostasy, when we tamper with the Bible by making it gender neutral, we're changing. We're changing it as it was given to us. One more. When denominations go against Scripture and ordain people that should not be ordained. When we go past Scripture and do what we want to do rather than taking Scripture hold. Jesus must be the Christ of the Scriptures. He must be the Christ of the Scriptures. And we cannot follow a faith based upon our own patterns of belief and thinking. We must follow what Scripture says. Sixth, birth pain, the gospel will be proclaimed. In other words, there will be global evangelism. There will be global evangelism. Verse 14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In spite of false messiahs, in spite of famines, in spite of earthquakes, in spite of persecution, apostasy, the gospel will be preached by faithful men and women. And then the end will come. After all those things happen and take place, the end is telos in Greek. It means the goal would have been reached, the purpose of civilization would have been reached. All things would have been fulfilled. Therefore, the end will come. Therefore, the end will come. Many of you love dogs. I like them too. It's just that I'm allergic to almost all of them. But some years ago, a minister, an old-time minister, wrote a book called Some Dogs I Have Known. And he writes about this big, big, massive bulldog. Big shoulders on it, big head, big body, tiny legs. That was walking, minding its own business, and out from the bushes came this tiny little dog that was yapping all around. Yap, 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 yap. All around it. All around that big bulldog. That big bulldog could have went once and gulped it all up and chewed it all up and spit it out. It did not. It just kept on walking and doing what it wanted to do. When that old minister saw that, he went home. I want to read you his prayer. This is his prayer. Oh God, whatever that bulldog's got, I want. Oh, for the ability to walk with a strong tread, straight ahead, and let the rest bip and snarl and growl and bark to their heart's content. God, give us men and women whom the acclaim or howling threats of the multitude do not move. Men who walk amid criticism, condemnation, anathema, cursings, content to know that in their very molding and making there is something so royal as to defend them forever against such mouthings. Men who are too tall for stooping, men whose ears are too close to heaven to hear the little growls from the throats of the worm-like things of earth. Whew. I want that. I want that. Every pastor in the land that I know has hearts that are broken sometimes by people. I want to be like that bulldog. The dog's yipping and yelping all around and just keep on going. Just keeps on walking its path. My prayer, one of my prayers for all of you, and I pray for all of you every week, my prayer is that we will continue to grow in grace and knowledge. People are going to say things about you if you show yourself to be a Christian. Of course, there are those out there who call themselves Christian who do things that are not so nice. We want to be people who are living right for Christ and doing what should be done for the cause of Christ. We want to be people. We want to be people that are not ashamed of the gospel. We want to be people that when we have an opportunity, we share the gospel. Yesterday, Stacy and I, we went out to eat. And we saw some friends. Again, I'm Croatian, as all of you are adopted Croatians. All of you are adopted Croatians. And we had some friends when I was growing up that we hadn't seen for a long time. They're also Slavic. And we went to eat this place. They came all the way from beyond Monroeville to come and eat at this place. And it was in Beaver County. It was an ethnic place. And we sat down and we were talking. And wouldn't you know it, he asked me a question. So how did you... I started witnessing him for the next 20 minutes. Next 20 minutes. I just felt, hey, he opened the door. He opened the door. All I did was walk in. Now, nothing happened then. I didn't get to that part. Kind of setting a stage. When it was time to leave, the wife said to Stacy, you know, this was nice. We should get together again soon. And I thought, yes, yes. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Lord, may we be like that bulldog. And people will yap around us. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. Let us want, Lord, let us desire to learn more so that we can speak intelligently about our faith. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to take you in more into our lives. That indeed we will be like that. Thank you, Father. I know that you always hear our prayers. May we take hold of that truth now. In Christ's name, amen. Take a couple of minutes. We want to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Take a few moments. Have the Holy Spirit shine a spotlight on you. Amen. You know, Jesus said in those verses, do not be alarmed. He doesn't want us to be alarmed by those things. He wants us to know him and to trust him, take hold of him, and live our life in faith of him. And to look forward to the day when he returns, to look forward to that day. Stacy and I used to know this. At that time, she was a senior citizen who took care of older people. She was 73 at the time. She cared for people. And her name was Claire Eagle. She used to say, I can't wait to see my Jesus. And she said it so, Jesus just rolled off her lips. I wanted to be able to be like that, that Jesus would just roll off my lips when I spoke with people. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, Pastor Stephen would love to talk to you here. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about, but let me say it this way. Do you know that you're going to heaven? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven, you can know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I've written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. And he would love to share the gospel message with you. The elders will be down here in front. Do you have a special need? They would love to pray for you for your special need that you may have. God bless you this week. Turn to someone right next to you and tell them, you're looking good today.